And the first of the series is God and You. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. Well, before we kick off this morning, we're going to welcome back in our wonderfully talented Adrian Buckley, who will set a great vibe and bring your wonderful talk into all of our hearts right now. Thank you so much, Paul. Have a fabulous day and keep your energy up.
I will. Bye. Thank you.
Must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in the sky, more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my sisters walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why?
I'm the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and thank you for inviting me. What I'd like you to do is sit back and relax, like our little minion friend is there. And I also like to provide you with my email address, alberthasselbeck@gmail.com, my website, paulhasselbeck.com, and the website of my podcast, metaphysicalromp2.com. And if you have your cell phone handy, please feel free to take it out and take pictures of any slides you want. So let's get romping. This is a series called User-Friendly Metaphysics. God and you. How often have you thought about that? God and you, God and me. What does it mean? Well, what does it mean in a metaphysical context? And so is God a who or a what? Are we a who or a what? Are you a who or a what? Answering these questions could be really important. So Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders of the Unity Movement, used this quote from Jesus when he said, Jesus said, you must know the truth and the truth shall set you free. How many times have we heard that? How many times maybe have we said it? And we thought it meant something about what the Bible said or Jesus said. However, our co-founder brilliantly expanded on that by saying, the truth about yourself. And so this is fundamentally what this presentation is about. So sit back and enjoy. So here's our little guys down here in the cartoon. One is saying, I have many unanswered questions. And aren't we like that in our spiritual journey? And then the other guy says, great, I have many unquestioned answers. You see, it's our unanswered questions. Our unanswered questions that get us going in our spiritual journey. We're seeking, we're finding. You know, and sometimes we call ourselves seekers. I prefer to call ourselves finders. But something curious happens. Our unanswered questions are actually far less dangerous to our spiritual evolvement than unquestioned answers. The unquestioned answers are answers we came up with a week ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, that we've never gone back to re-examine them. So what are the things we'd want to question? Well, fundamentally, the most important thing we'd want to look at is our beliefs, especially our beliefs around God and ourselves. Merriam-Webster defines belief as a state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing. The second definition is something that is accepted, considered to be true, or held as opinion. In a big general way, beliefs tend not to be provable. So, unquestioned answers. How about this one? God loves you. How about this one? God knows everything. How about this one? God is all powerful. And especially this one. God gives us money, things, partners, you name it. When you think about this, from nearly the beginning of time, the spiritual beliefs and practices and religions that grew up over the millennia are pretty much identical, even to the ones today. Sure, the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Norsemen had a pantheon of gods. However, when the idea of monotheism arrived, all of those characteristics of all of those gods were rolled up into one god. And you know, I don't think we question that enough. What if we did? I think Charles Fillmore did. And I'm hoping what I share with you today, you will start to get a glimpse of that. And again, listen with an open heart. Seek to understand. You're not required to believe anything. So Jesus said, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will become astonished and he will rule over all. You can find that as the second saying in the Gospel of Thomas. It's that middle line. When he finds, he will become troubled. You see, when we question our unquestioned answers, we may find some pretty troubling things. But it's not a problem because we will become astonished and we will rule over all. What does that mean? It means rule over all of our consciousness, not around others, not over others. And so, is God a who or what? So here's a really traditional picture of God, right? This male deity that is all powerful. But Myrtle Fillmore had another idea. And this is found in the fourth chapter of How to Let God Help You. She says, rather than holding to the view that God is a personal being with parts like man, a being subject to change and capable of varying moods. Now think about that for a minute. Is the child in you resonating with this? Because in my childhood, I believed in this kind of God, that it was a being with parts like humankind, like man. And I believed he was a moody dude, and I couldn't figure him out. Sometimes when I did good, I seemed to get punished. Sometimes when I did bad, I seemed to be rewarded. And we kind of called that grace, didn't we? But what if we questioned that like Myrtle did? She goes on to say in this quote, God is it, neither male nor female, but principle. The primary definition for God, for Myrtle Fillmore, is that God is principle, not a man, not a woman, not a deity of any kind, not a goddess, not a god, it. Unfortunately, in the rest of her book, she referred to God with the pronouns he and him. And this important quote gets lost. Her husband and co-founder, Charles Fillmore, did this definition. You can find it under the term mind in the Revealing Word. He wrote, by the term mind, we mean God, the universal principle which includes all principles. Take a breath. Is your concept of God being challenged? It's okay. God is the universal principle which includes all principles. So in that one little quote, we have three synonyms for God: mind, God, and principle. In Talks on Truth, Charles Fillmore said, yet there is but one I am. You've been hearing about the I am in your Unity Church, haven't you? You know, Charles relates to this very much, and I relate to it very much. He says, yet there is but one I am. It cannot be cut into parts. It is principle. Wow. Doesn't that challenge the idea that we have a drop of the divine within us, or a spark of the divine in us, or a wave of the divine in us? All of those things cuts up God or principle into pieces or parts. So we have principle equaling God. We have principle equaling mind. We have principle equaling the I am. Now what? Are you a who or a what? Well, God is a what, and you are a who and a what. So let's look at that. So this wonderful quote from Eric Butterworth states, God is spirit, present in its entirety, at every point in space, all at the same time. Knowing the synonyms, we can now say God is principle, present in its entirety, at every point in space, all at the same time. Think about that. What does that mean? Well, the human body has 37.2 trillion cells, and each of those cells take up a little bit of space, don't they? That means principle, all of principle, not a piece, not a part, not a wave, not a spark, is present in every one of those cells. He also said, the whole of infinite mind is present at the point of my mind. Wow. So, would it trouble you if God does not love us? God is not all powerful. God does not give us money or things. It was troubling to me when I first thought of these things and questioned them. Let's take a little deeper look. God does not give us material things, but mind substance, not money, but ideas. The substance of divine mind is made up of divine ideas, which, by the way, is another synonym for principle. When we pray, we don't get things, we get ideas. And then in Prosperity, Charles says, God is not loving. Ouch. God is not loving. God is love. God is the very principle of love, from which is drawn forth all feeling, all sympathy, all emotion. And friends, it's you and I drawing forth the feeling, the sympathy and the emotion, using the principle of love. And then he also says, yet God does not love anybody or anything. God is the love, the principle of love in everybody and everything. The principle of love is present at 37.2 trillion cells within you and fully present at the point of our minds. God is the principle of power, but God does not exercise power. Man is powerful. Man uses the principle of power to be powerful. But you might be thinking, well, God's omnipotent. No, God is omnipotence, which is the principle, not the effect. So, God, a who or what, or you, who or what are we? Well, it turns out that we must know who and what we are. Man can never exercise dominion until he knows who and what he is. I, say this with me, I can never exercise dominion until I know who and what I am. You see, I am a who. And I am what? I am human and I am divine. And when I know the totality of that, I enter into a new phase of effectiveness. So in the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore says, the I am is the metaphysical name of the spiritual self, as distinguished from the human self. So Charles is setting up this thing that we have a spiritual self and a human self. Let's own that, not as a duality, but as a kind of a unit of like two sides to the same coin. And we already saw principle is mind, principle is God, principle is the I am. And now you just learned the I am is the spiritual self. And so that must mean our spiritual self is principle, is God, is mind, is spirit, is divine idea, but not a being with parts like man, a omnipresence within each of us. So we have everything within us, everything that is within the universal, because the universal isn't out there. Well, it is out there, but it's also totally here at the point of you and the point of me. Charles said the ego is humankind, and by reason of its divinity, the ego makes and remakes as it wills. In this lie the ego's greatest strength and its greatest weakness. What this means is our personality, our ego, can use our divinity any way it likes. When we do it erroneously, it's a weakness. When we do it harmoniously, it's our greatest strength. So here we have baby Jesus and Mary, and Jesus is demonstrating his humanity and his divinity. And Mary is saying, boy, get in the bathwater. You see, you are fully human. You are fully divine. Say that. I am fully human I am fully divine. Now look, we don't know the full extent of our humanity, and we don't know the full extent of our divinity. But that doesn't mean we're not fully human and fully divine. And this is a key to useful metaphysics. We're no longer dependent on something separate from us, living far away or separate and within us, like a wiener in a bun kind of thing. We are it. We are it. And this truth about ourselves helps us live more presently and more effectively. So we are a who and a what. User-friendly metaphysics. God and you. You are fully divine. You are fully human. And that is the truth about yourself. Thank you for listening today.
So let's joyfully settle down into the quiet for our meditation together now. Thank you, God, for Reverend Paul's amazing insight and creativity that will inspire our meditation now. We are so grateful for opening the doors of our understanding and the courage to explore our inner hearts and minds, to reflect on the omnipotence and omnipresence of God and our sacred connection. And as we take in another deep breath, we feel our bodies growing calm and still, and we let our minds and hearts begin an even deeper exploration with Spirit. Boldly and with new and brighter understanding, we feel well able to explore Spirit's goodness and power in our lives. How wonderful to set aside a time each day to see the power of God at work. Just to appreciate how our perception of divine oneness increases as we pause and reflect on the beauty and grace of Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart now as we feel this mighty connection growing. From the smallest incident of day-to-day kindness to breathtaking and profound miracles, we affirm now that we will not miss another opportunity to see God in us, through us, and all around us. And as we move now into a few moments of silence, we feel the amazing buoyancy of Spirit gently guiding us, filling every minute of our lives, every cell, and each and every life that we touch. We immerse ourselves fully in this moment of peace and awe for an even greater understanding of God without any resistance or concern. Come, Holy Spirit, into the silence. And as we gently return from this sacred time apart, we are refreshed by Spirit, truly enlightened and eager to move forward boldly into our day. And so it is. Amen.
Where I am, God, where I stand, God is standing strong. And where I breathe, God is breathing life in and out and through me. I sing. God is, and where I dance, joy lifts my feet, and where I live, beauty's flowing free. Ooh, see.